Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Become a Conscious Leader. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Kevin Billett. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first PeopleYouShouldMeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Kevin a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site by you, our listeners, prior to the call. Now, leadership itself is a topic that we haven't actually directly tackled on the People You Should Meet program, but I thought it was an imperative one given the challenges that we're currently facing around the world. Now, I initially was introduced to Kevin through a very good friend of mine, Steve Noble, who is a director of alternatives and has also been a guest here on People You Should Meet probably around a year ago. And I was trying to get Kevin on the program last year, but due to his very demanding international schedule, we weren't able to tie something up. So it's great that I've finally been able to track Kevin down in Munich to participate in this call this evening. Now, Kevin, for years, has been leading consciousness-based workshops and retreats that allow people to strip away their limiting beliefs and painful conditioned responses to life, allowing them to discover their authentic greatness, genius, and fulfillment that naturally lies within. His current main focus is bringing the power of transformation to corporations and organizations by developing and fostering a new paradigm of visionary leadership. And he currently presents the Journeyman and Conscious Communication workshops around the world, and also has just released his brand new book with his life partner, Brandon Bayes, called Consciousness, the New Currency. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest, Kevin Billett. How are you doing there,
Kevin? Thank you, Damien. Great pleasure to join you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, I thought I'd just kick us off at the top, Kevin, by asking, what exactly is conscious leadership?
What is conscious leadership? That's a big question first. And for me, conscious leadership is authentic leadership of the deepest type. It's leadership that is very different from what we've been experiencing in the world probably up until now. It's leadership that is not fear-driven, not ego-based, but is born from freedom, born from truth, born from the greatest, deepest human potential that exists.
Great. And one of the interesting things that I've been chatting to some friends recently about the world that we're living in today is that it seems as if we're all being invited to step in front of the curtain of life with all the different avenues of media these days, from traditional media such as newspapers and televisions and magazines, but also with the whole development of the new media platforms such as Facebook and social networking forums. It seems as if everyone is being called to step into greater levels of authenticity, greater levels of expression of who they truly are, and also greater levels of truth. And are you finding this ever-changing environment having a big impact on leadership?
That's a good and complex question, Damien. The truth is that with Brandon, I've been involved in work that brings out the deepest truth in people for around 15 years. And in that time, I've definitely seen a shift. I've seen a shift in people's attitudes, a shift in people's expectations, definitely a shift in people's willingness to take responsibility for their own state. And that's been phenomenal. When we started with the journey back in, 1994, I would say that a lot of people came to our workshops with an amount of fear and cynicism and were really coming from a place that kind of either verbally or non-verbally said, you know, prove this stuff. You know, you're saying this stuff works. Prove it to me. Do it to me. And, of course, you can't do that. The beautiful thing that I've seen over that time is a gradual shift where people go, okay, I get it that there's something deeper. I get it that there's something greater on offer here. I do get that I'm sabotaging myself. And if I could only get those patterns dealt with, that something bigger, greater genius would be available. How do I do that? Can you help me? Can you point me in the right direction? Can you show me how to do it? And that in itself is a fundamental change. Now, to come up with the second part of the question, am I noticing that in leadership? Not generally, David, is the truth to it. And, you know, I wonder about the American President Obama. I mean, I feel like he's still got a lot to prove there in the States. He's got a lot to live up to. And he, can I say this, feels and smells like a different animal to me. So I'm watching with great curiosity. He seems to be a quality man. Whether he will be as effective as we hope he'll be, I don't know. And it does feel like there's a shift there. It feels like this is not leadership, at least born from ego and fear. It feels like something that's more healthy. I'm waiting to see how effective that's going to be in action. And more specific to what I do, Damien, with the visionary leadership programs, what I've found generally is that our old models of leadership they're defunct. They just don't work anymore. It's just the bottom line truth. I mean, what we've admired in leadership in the past has been largely charismatic leadership. You know, the leadership of the warrior, the successful do or die, stick to it until the end merchant. You know, someone with a large personality, large character. And it's essentially a warring model. It's a win-lose model. And while you've got relatively healthy people, you know, leading and governing in this way, there can be advantages to it. And in the society that's developed, or the societies that have developed around the world today, and with the shifting consciousness that is taking place, it feels like it's very passive. It feels like it's far too combative. That essentially it is still fear-driven, and that something much deeper, something greater has been called forth from us, that we need something that's more integrative. We're looking for a leadership really that recognizes the interconnectedness of all life, of all systems. Because in that, our leadership can take place where the leader leads for the benefit of the group, for the benefit of the organization, for the benefit of society, for the benefit of humanity, if you will, and recognizes that the self-benefit is the same as the group benefit, that essentially there's no difference. This I'm seeing in small, small ways, and obviously my prayer is this deeper recognition kind of spreads and that a different style of leadership grows out of this. That's my life prayer. So there are other models of leadership out there at the moment, Damien. You know, there have been reactions against the old charismatic style, and yet still they are hooked. I mean, I've read about, you know, servant leadership. So you surrender, you give up self-interest, and you just, you know, you lead purely for the benefit of the group, and you become self-sacrificing in that. And to me, there's still a trap in that. It kind of denies the self. And there's still an ego trap in it, Damien, you know? I mean, it's different from the old trap. It certainly seems to be less egoic, but it can be born out of a need to look a particular way, born out of a need to play small or to self-martyr, born from particular needs to just look and appear a certain way in leadership, to be maybe to be approved of, maybe to get the strokes, maybe to be seen as a nice person. I don't know. It varies. But it doesn't feel essentially clean as a model to me. The same with so-called integrative leadership that's been touted at the moment. You know, it seems to me to be leadership by committee, that there's an amount of selling out and playing small in this as well. Because as far as I can ascertain it, Damien, I perceive that leadership, true authentic leadership, real visionary leadership, needs to be deep enough and big enough to embrace whatever quality is demanded in that moment. that there's no formula, that we can't copy what's gone before us, that we have to open wider and deeper to experience what truly is our potential, what really is in there, what's there, the deepest part of us as humans. If you like, what is our divine potential as well as our human potential? And when that can be expressed, something far clearer comes out, something far purer and very, very potent is available within us. That's what I'm about. It's what I love to explore in myself, and it's what I love to help other people to discover and explore in themselves.
Mm. Well, Kevin, you mentioned so many very, very interesting themes to that little passage there, and I just wanted to pick up on a couple. One actually really struck a chord with me, actually, when you were talking about the charismatic leadership model and it being based on the warrior archetype. And I know for me personally, yeah, before I even, I guess, came to really going into the sort of spiritual aspects of personal development, I actually came to realize that I spent 100% of my time in that warrior archetype all day, all right, night. Right. And I actually didn't even really recognize the other archetypes in myself. They were so denied. And did you actually see that in leaders today as well, that the warrior archetype is just so strong that they've actually forgotten that they're actually also a magician, they have lover aspects inside of them, and also the archetype of the monarch or the sovereign?
Yeah, many of us have lost connection, Damien, and I'm certainly no expert on the archetypes model. I believe that our ego traps the kind of flavors of the lies of our own life story, if you like, tend to trip us up at a deep level. And the result of that is that we intend good, or most of us intend good, and we sabotage ourselves. I mean, the question I ask myself, and I'll ask it of you, is have you ever been in a position where you've behaved in a particular way, or you've spoken in a particular way, or you've reacted in a particular way, and then you thought, damn, I mean, that wasn't me. That wasn't what I intended. I didn't really mean that, you know. That wasn't the healthy me. That wasn't the good version of me. That wasn't my deepest intent. It was something came out. Something
absolutely
came up. Have you ever experienced that? Oh, I've definitely
experienced
that. So my question is, what causes that? What drives that? Because so many of us have really, I mean, high intents, positive intents. We want to effect positive change. We want good. Yet we trip ourselves up. We do, I mean, we react to something that's been triggered deep inside ourselves. And we don't live life to our fullest potential. And I've been interested in this for decades. I mean, in my formative years back in the 1970s, the statistics that were bandied around at that time is the human only uses 10% of their brain. And I thought, well, you know, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we can find what's happening with that other 90% and do something with it? And so it set me on a real path of introspection and real longing to find out, I mean, you know, what's going on with that 90%? What really is our potential? And I got a sense, you know, when they used to tell me in school, you know, could do better, you've got bigger potential than this, you could do much better. And I knew that I was struggling. I knew that I was working pretty hard. I knew that I was probably worrying as much as anyone else about my school results, but I couldn't seem to find a way to access what I really got a strong sense was inside. And I didn't know there was truth in what people were saying. Capable of much better. Definitely, you know, there's greater capacity here than is being used and is being expressed. And so working from that over the last 20 or so years, I've been studying how do we get in touch with that? How do we access the part of us that is genius, the part of us that does know? And luckily over that time, and very fortuitously over that time, and mainly through my connection with Brandon, who I'm now married to, and journey work, I've uncovered amazing ways to really clear the blocks that obscure this greatness from us. We're all conditioned from birth. We're all subject to the negative influences of life and the people around us. And what I've discovered is that negativity sticks, that it lodges in ourselves, and it affects us for decades, and it compromises us. And so the beauty of all the work that I'm involved in these days is that it includes process work, deep introspection work, that allows us to clear out that old conditioning, to pull it out from the root level, and to free ourselves to be free from fear, to be really clear in our being, to be in touch with the divine potential inside, and not just this, but to live from this place. That is fundamentally different from the way I experienced life previously. Previously was definitely struggling, efforting, and looking for the compensations to the pain that I felt in life. And these days, through me using this work, something very, very different plays out, where what I experience and what I ask other people to experience is, oh, if there's fear here, if there are emotions here, what happens if you actually turn to meet them rather than to compensate them or to find a way out of them? And very interesting things happen then. And it's the same with the leadership work that I am currently teaching, Damien. I'm really asking people to look deeply and giving them specific tools and skills by which they can do this, to ask the question, if this greatness was in you, if we are developed as leaders, if we can discover greatness inside us, if it's not just that there are a small percentage of people who are born as great leaders, if you had this potential inside, what might stop you from accessing that and from living from that place? And a whole host of stuff can come out from that. I could go on all night about it if you so wish. But, and essentially, our insecurities come to the surface, and we find ways to meet those and to clear them. Our negativities in the forms of old beliefs, old rules that don't serve us, old vows and promises and oaths that we've made that compromise us and keep us weighed down. These things expose themselves, and we've got very elegant techniques to meet them, to clear them out, and to change the conditioned patterning that resides within us. And the results have just been extraordinary, very, very liberating. It's not, as I briefly touched on earlier on, that there's a new formula for leadership here, because I don't believe there is a real formula for authentic leadership, for enlightened leadership, if you like. And I believe that in meeting what needs to be met, in meeting these insecurities and old patterns, that the greatness itself is the leadership. We're all leaders in some way or other. If you have friends who you've sometimes influenced, you're a leader. If you have kids, surely you're a leader. You know, if you grew up with younger brothers and sisters, you're a leader. If you're in work and you influence anyone, you're a leader. So it applies to all of us. And there's a huge untapped well of greatness inside all of us. So I'm interested in how do you uncork that well? How do you let that stuff out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned you've had some stunning results. I was just wondering if you had any stories that you might like to share, Kevin, of people who have been confronted with that conditioned way of existence and then have done the work and actually cleared through a lot of the things that were holding them back to step into a new reality for themselves.
Well, there are a lot of people who've been through the programs who've completely turned their lives around, Damien. I mean, in general flavor, the sort of thing we're seeing is people from, let me see, how could I express this best? Two general patterns in the past. One pattern that we use to react or in reaction to the fear is to close down and play small. And so we've had numerous people come through the workshops who've battened down the hatches, who've played safe, played small in life, who've kind of been the wallflowers or shrunken back and just generally not fully engaged in life. There's some way that they've either narcotized to life or blended in with the scenery. And what I've seen with that type of person is a real willingness to get real with the deepest insecurities they've got and to meet and clear those out so completely that they're willing to stand and speak, I call it nakedly, I suppose, vulnerably and in total exposure to speak the deepest truth that can be articulated. That is compelling. And so people who've been kind of diminutive team members in the past have gone on and they've started initiatives in government, in universities, in businesses, and they are thriving and galvanizing people around them who are joining in with their vision. And so they've definitely stepped well up the ladder in leadership and are out there fulfilled and really leading positive and productive lives in a very, very different way. The other type of way that we react is, rather than deflating in this way, rather than collapsing and becoming introverted, blending in and playing small, is to actually do the opposite of that. And it's still a compensatory device. And that's by inflating. So by faking it, pumping ourselves up, becoming what you might classically call egoic. So bossing people around, pushing our way through life, becoming the unhealthy warrior and really kind of mouthing off whether we know what we're talking about or not. And I see the different result with those people because it's the same flavor of work. And often we do both things. It's not just that we do one or the other. Some of us we have a preference for one style or the other. But the people who've previously been the inflators, the overriders, the bullies and the dominators, I've seen with that style real humility come into the surface. So the charisma is still there, and yet there's a much, much deeper, softer authenticity with them, that they're willing to speak from weakness as well as speaking from strength, that they're willing to stand and speak the deepest truth, whether that is popular truth or not popular truth, rather than having to bullshit their way through any given circumstance so that they can look good. And with these people, what I've seen is them getting much, much more in touch with the people they work with and being far more influential at a deep level with the teams and with their customers, with their with their communities even. And so various styles, but they fit mainly in those two character, those two flavors, and radical transformations, Damien. I mean, the easiest way I can tell you about this is to use my own personal experience. That I was brought kicking and struggling to the kind of the arena of presenting anything. I always wanted to kind of, hang out at the back of the room, just, keep my head down, be anything technical or business-wise, as long as I didn't have to meet people. And I had all sorts of rationales as to why I was like that, built identities around it, and then realized ultimately, I was just scared, just terrified. I had built all sorts of reasons why I was behaving that way and built a whole kind of raft of identities around it. But mainly what I found was that I was scared. And so in using the work to face the various fears and insecurities, it's a natural ease has come forward, definitely a much deeper fulfillment and a willingness to kind of stand up and be counted, a willingness to be wrong, a willingness to face rejection, if you like, to face humiliation, because sometimes leadership calls for that. We're not always going to be loved if we stand up to be counted. We're not always going to be approved of. We're not always going to be right. And so in my own life, definitely a huge amount more preparedness, willingness, keenness even to stand up and to be authentic in the way that I express, no matter what the result of that is. And one of the beautiful results of it has been that this whole series of courses has developed out of it that's offering people the chance to really clear some of these blocks. It's been phenomenal.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, Kevin, in the two sort of groupings there with both the inflators and the deflators, I noticed that you mentioned that in both groups that it was important to speak from our deepest truth. So I was just wondering if you could actually explain, just in terms of being a true conscious leader, what role self-expression and communication plays in really allowing people to own that space within themselves.
Well, conscious communication is absolutely vital to everything, Damien, because we can spend months or years or whatever we choose to spend looking inside, introspecting, and changing ourselves. We can burn away old patterns, and we can we can transform ourselves. Yet, if we don't have a vehicle, a mechanism to effectively communicate that to other people, then we're lost. we need to find ways to communicate that connect with people, that engage them, excite them, interest them, emotionally move and impact them. And then I guess, according to what our vision is as leaders, to bring them on side and to really galvanize them to take action for the common good, for what it is we stand for. And communication and all that is absolutely vital. And so in the three-part course that I teach, we spend a whole one component and a whole week on conscious communication and conscious presentation. It's a process of stripping away. I'd say that the whole thing is a process of stripping away, Damien. You know, it's not that I believe we can add anything into the human mix particularly. It's more a process of taking away the inessential, taking away the masks, removing the lies, clearing the veils and the cobwebs, because what's inside of each of us is already good enough. It's already absolutely miraculous. It doesn't take any more than that. And so by a process of subtraction rather than addition, these facilities reveal themselves in us. And there are some simple techniques we can use with conscious communication, and there are simple techniques we can use in terms of presentation. And the key to it all is that the expression is deeply authentic, that we remove all pretense. And the startling thing is how much we generally pretend in life, Damien. I speak from personal long-term experience here. In this exploration, I have been totally shocked to discover the number of lies I've told myself, the number of pretenses that I've lived in, the number of masks that I've worn, some of them very, very subtle and some of them gross. And so a big part of what I'm about in this work is taking those masks off so that we really can recognize the authenticity in ourselves. We can't speak from it until we've discovered it. And so it's a process of uncovering, a process of discovering, then a process of communication, presentation, and influence. It needs to be in that order.
Kevin, that really resonated with me. It just reminded me of the story of Michelangelo seeing the block of stone, but knowing within that stone that the statue of David was just waiting to emerge. But the whole process of actually, just stripping away and allowing our natural genius to come from within.
It's such a good metaphor, that, Damien, because I mean, one person had written in a question, you know, are we born great leaders or do we develop as great leaders? And I'd say the capacity for true, strong, genius, visionary, conscious leadership is in every one of us. The question is, how do we bring that out? How do we bring that out to the surface? And for me, it definitely is. It's a process of elimination. It's a process of cutting away, exactly perfect to the metaphor of Michelangelo carving away the stone. And then that which has always been there is revealed. So absolutely, yes, I'm 100% with you in that.
Lovely. Great, Kevin. Well, as I mentioned earlier on, we've had questions come in from all around the world, and I thought I might just kick you off with a question from Helen, who is in the UK. And Helen asks, can you explain the difference between conscious leadership and just being a good leader?
Well, I can explain conscious leadership, and that would lead me to repeat a few of the things I've said here. I feel that conscious leadership is authentic leadership with the deepest of authenticity. I feel that it's truthful. I feel that it's honest. I feel that mainly the key quality here is that it recognizes itself as part of the whole. And so its responsibility is to the whole and therefore to itself. Everything is interrelated. We're realizing and realizing it at an increasing speed that we can't take action in isolation. Humanity can't take action in isolation. Societies can't take action in isolation. There is always a knock-on effect. And the sooner we recognize that we are part of an interrelated consciousness, an interrelated whole, the sooner we stand a chance of really acting from a place of authentic consciousness in leadership. I feel like good leadership You know, the difference for me here, Damien, is it comes back to the conversation we were having about 10 minutes ago about positive intent being subverted or sabotaged by our insecurities and by our deep submerged patterns. And so I think with good leadership, sure, you could take a view that said in this specific context, a certain style of leadership was effective and it produced a good result. And generally, in terms of our leadership style, what we intend to be good often turns out to be very different from that because of the things we've been discussing, you know, the masks we wear, the ways we subtly distort and obfuscate with ourselves. And so for me, it's really a process of looking inwards first. In all of our seminars and workshops, and I say the same thing. First, look within. Let's tell the truth. Let's get the butt out of here. Let's really name what's here. Let's name what occurs. And we play with different scenarios, with different elicitations to find out, okay, what's stuck in there? What's stuck inside you? When we've cleared that, when we've really got the cobwebs out of the way, when we're in touch with who we genuinely are at the deepest level, then authentic leadership can come out. And it's more than good leadership. It's free. It's truthful at the deepest level. It's aware. It's awake. And this quality, it sees itself as part of an interrelated whole. And all action is born from that. So quite different.
Mm. I love the thought of actually looking inwards first. And I guess looking at our culture, it's almost like we're that part of that conditioning program is that we're conditioned to look outside of ourselves for the answers.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We look outside ourselves for everything, Damien. And what I've been discovering for 20 years now is that every answer that's ever been of any real deep value to me has come from within. Mm. And what I so often see in organizations, in businesses, something goes wrong, and the first instinct is like, first of all, who do we blame? You know, whose fault was it? If that doesn't work, if we can't find it to blame, it's like, okay, we'll blame God or life or the universe or some notionalized big version of who's to blame. And if that doesn't work, we may play a game of collapse, and so we turn into victimhood, and it's like, well, you know, they did it to me, whoever they are, and so we become ineffective in that way. Or we just make ourselves rigid and block and defend. And so there's just this one kind of game pattern that we see in societies, in businesses, in organizations, in families. And so we approach that and say, okay, so we recognize the games. Let's tell the truth about the games we play. We sometimes play blamer. We sometimes play victim. We sometimes play blocking defender. What would we face emotionally if we couldn't do that? And it's remarkable what comes to the surface. And then when we turn to meet that, when we really look at what drives that from a core level and resolve this, pull it out by the roots, these games fall away. And so then there's a deeper level of authenticity available to us. But until we've got real and said, okay, these are, and this is just one version I'm giving you here, okay, this is one small aspect. Until we're willing to tell the truth that we do behave unhealthily, and that we're often on automatic pilot in life, we don't stand a chance. And then, you know, our notion of good leadership is already tainted by the unconscious patterns that we're running. And so a large part of my premise here is let's have a look at what's running us unconsciously. Let's have a look at what's driving our automatic pilot. Let's get right in there at the deepest level and, you know, face that stuff. Really get it resolved at the deepest level. And then our innate clarity can come to the surface, and that is of positive value in society. That is genuine leadership. It's of amazing value to the people around us.
Mm. Great. Okay, this is a question from Sarah in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And Sarah asks, can the existing global power structures actually keep pace with the incredible developments that we are witnessing in the evolution of human consciousness? Do you think that we need an entirely new kind of leadership to emerge?
I do think we need a new type of leadership to emerge, Damien, and I'm hoping a little bit of that is coming across in this conversation, because existing power structures, for me, it's definitely not where it's at. It's a very old paradigm, and my prayer is for a brand new paradigm, one that, repeating myself here, but one that definitely recognizes our actions have consequences. They have consequences to everyone. They have consequences to our planet, to humanity, to our societies, and ultimately at the deepest level, to ourselves. And we're definitely looking for something new. We're looking for something very different than has ever been tried by humanity before.
Excellent. And this sort of follows on quite nicely with a question from Peter in Portugal. And Peter asks, what do you think are the biggest challenges or leadership challenges that are facing humanity today?
I feel that the biggest challenges we face as humans, and definitely in the leadership arena, are the traps of our own fixation. So the traps of our own ego, the traps of our own insecurities that are as yet undiscovered and unfaced, because these are the things that drive all of our unhealthy behavior to the surface. It's as if we live our lives trapped in the lie of our own stories. And until we really get clear with what is it that's at the core level pushing the unhealthy behavior, pushing the small-mindedness, pushing the ego bravado, pushing the fears to the surface, pushing all of our unhealthy patterns up, then we're really kind of wallowing in the dark. And I believe that most books that you read on leadership today still are buying into the trap of human fixation, so the trap of human insecurities and ego. And so the prayer that I've got is that we begin to wake up to our own ego styles, our own ego patterns, and we free ourselves from their hold, from their grip, so that something really fresh can come out, something much truer can come out.
Now, with the processes that you go through, Kevin, I guess one of the biggest challenges for people dealing with unconscious patterns is the fact that they're unconscious, likely.
Sure.
That they're not actually aware of the things that are, I guess, percolating underneath. And I guess what can actually make it even more difficult for existing leaders is the fact that often their ego desires and the actions that sort of emanate out of those ego desires are actually well rewarded in the world as well. So I was just wondering for leaders who would like to become more conscious, how do they start becoming more aware of unconscious programming that they may be acting out?
Well, they could come to the Visionary Leadership Program with me for a start. First of all, I would say they need to be willing to recognize that the self-serving patterns of the ego are ultimately damaging, and they ultimately don't give us what we crave. They don't give us what we desire, because they're driven to the surface as a compensatory measure for some insecurity, some fear, some conditioned state inside us. And the truth is a paradox, but it is true that the results of these ego games, the games that are set up to give us wins that compensate for our insecurities, actually don't pay us. They actually cause the pain in our lives. So we strive, let's say we strive for power. We strive for power maybe because we feel weak and we feel insecure inside. We feel maybe vulnerable inside, and so we compensate for it. We act big. We strive to gain and to maintain power and to wield it over others. Ultimately, what we find is that that does not give us anything. That does not make us feel secure. That does not make us feel the way we want to feel in life. Take another example. Maybe deep down inside, our hook, our trap, if you like, is that we feel worthless, we feel unworthy. And so we set out in life to make vast amount of money, to build the big bank accounts, to have the massive share portfolio, which only ever goes up in value, of course, and to have the right house, the right partner, the right car, the right image, the right everything. And yet, ultimately, what happens is, even if your strategies of striving succeed in bringing you the things that you feel you need, you feel you want, those things do not give you what your heart really desires. In this case, what I'm saying is, this is all driven as a compensation for deep sense of worthlessness or unworthiness. You gain all the accoutrements, all the material things in life, and the truth is you still feel, excuse my language, you still feel like shit, you still feel bad about yourself. So it doesn't work. The sooner we wake up to the fact that what we think we want is not actually what we crave, is not actually our heart's desire, the better. Then we'll be willing to tell a deeper truth about the games we play. We'll maybe willing to take off the masks and lay them down for a short while so that we can explore some deeper truth in ourselves. That's definitely a big part of my prayer, Damien. So I don't know if that made sense to you, but I feel passionate about this.
Absolutely. I think that's really, really powerful. Now, this question comes from Michael in the United Kingdom. And Michael asks, how do you coach business types away from the illusion of being constantly busy with no time for clarity or visioning, etc.?
Yeah, well, you've got to get them to realize that their busy making isn't actually effective before you've got any leverage with them. So I mean, I would guess you'd need to find a practical way to demonstrate to them that their busyness is actually counterproductive, and then to get them to slow down enough to discover what is driving that busyness. Normally that will be some type of fear. And to, I don't know, if it was me, I'd be inviting someone to really face the fear, to open with it, to feel it, to sit with it, to really open into the core of it, and then to discover a clarity inside that realizes that much more can take place in a short period of time in effortless action from clarity than could ever take place from mind-driven efforting and this type of busyness. It's just not productive. It doesn't work. I mean, we can't see the wood for the trees when we're operating in this way, and so there's just a much more effective way of being, and it's born from stillness. And so I definitely would have been inviting someone, just for the sake of experiment, to try this, you know, to stop, to feel, to open, to get in touch with something much clearer inside, and to let that take the action. Different type of action is born then, effortless action, very, very effective.
Great. What about the executive who may actually find themselves trapped inside a culture that they may have the desire to actually slow down themselves and take that time for reflection, but if they're in an existing corporate structure, for example, where there's a whole culture built around looking productive, yeah. What sort of advice would you give to someone in that kind of situation?
I'd say you face two choices. First choice is this, and it's worth trying. If you work on yourself, if you really get in touch with the depth of genius and greatness that's available to you, and if you exude that, if you embody it, people will catch it. So inevitably, the people around you will be influenced by you. They will want to know, what are you on? What are you doing? What have you got? Because I want some of that. Because people crave this at the deepest level. We crave deep fulfillment. We crave the stillness. We crave the deepest truth of our being. And when people get that from us, they want it. So first thing is try it. See what happens to the people around you, because they will be influenced by it. Secondly is this, if the culture is so ingrained in unhealth, you have to ask yourself the question, is this a culture I want to remain engaged with? And so it may be that that's you know, not a choice for you. And for me, I know these days that my old style of doing business, which was agitated, driven, definitely very money-focused, very materialistic, was image-conscious, was frenetic, and very boozy in those days as well, Damien. I just know these things. I could not go back to that sort of environment. I would have absolutely no interest. And I mean, I got out because those things were no longer appealing to me, and I was looking for something different. And so there's a very practical decision here as well, you know. It reminds me of a story that an Indian teacher gave to a student. A student came to an Indian enlightened master and said, "Master, I've moved into a flat above the road, and the traffic noise outside is disturbing my meditation. And you know, I've tried all the mantras, I've tried all the techniques, and I can't seem to still the mind with all this noise outside. Can you give me advice how I can improve my meditation? And the teacher said, move apartments. Same advice here.
That's brilliant. Cool. Okay, so this this question comes from Tracy in the United States, and Tracy asks, I work in my own small business, but I don't really think of myself as a leader. Do you think that we are all actually leaders?
Absolutely feel that the capacity for leadership is inside every one of us. And Tracy, if you are running your own small business, you are inevitably a leader. And you've had the courage to set up your own enterprise. Whether you employ people or not, you are influencing those you do business with. Of course you're a leader. Absolutely you're a leader. And there's a way in which we all are. I mean, from the family level to the social level to the sporting level to the organizational level to the business level to the political level, wherever you look, if we meet anyone, if we speak to anyone, we're influencing them. And at a core level, if you're influencing someone, you are leading. You're putting yourself out there, and in some ways you're being a leader. So yes, question is, how do you access the greatest capacity to embody authentic leadership in yourself, to embody visionary leadership? For me, stripping away the unessential. So Tracy, definitely, you're a leader.
Great. Thanks, Tracy, for that question. And I just wanted to squeeze in one of my own questions here, Kevin, before we find out a little bit more about your work. But I was just wondering, who are some of your favourite leaders in the world today?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I suppose I could look back and say, over time, I've admired different leaders for different aspects of their leadership quality. I mean, definitely, if I look back to the mid-20th century and I look at the way Gandhi used nonviolence to free India from British imperial rule, I look at that and go, oh, man, that is true leadership. And yet, under different circumstances, I could look back and say with our British Winston Churchill, as a wartime leader, that was exactly what was called for. And I mean, massive character and strength in his World War II leadership. I would look for people who are still alive today at Nelson Mandela being the embodiment of really, I mean, heart-based surrendered leadership. What an incredible, incredible man.
Mm. You know,
it melts me, brings me to tears just to evoke his face. Mm. And different leaders for specific different qualities, Damien. And truthfully today, I would say that there are few leaders who truly embrace the totality of leadership that I pray for. And my beloved wife is one of them, Brandon Bays, who's the founder and pioneer of Journey Work. I mean, I'm biased, Damien. You've got to give me this. The most extraordinary leader. This was a woman who had a life-threatening tumor, and instead of going the orthodox route, said, okay, I'm willing to stop and to face whatever I need to face to heal from this naturally. And in her extraordinary courage has healed in herself naturally without drugs or surgery, and has developed a method, not just of physical healing, but of emotional healing, of awakening, and of really untrapping us as humans. For me, makes me speechless. And few, Damien, is the honest truth, few. There are spiritual leaders who I admire. In business, there are some. And as I say, it's mostly for specific qualities, rarely for the roundedness of the personality and for the breadth of vision as a leader. I guess with women, Anita Roddick was one that I had a lot of a big soft spot for. Let's say I felt like she really stood up and followed her heart in a way that began to change the way people thought. And that's a big quality for me as well. I love the paradigm breakers. You know, there's a bit of a rebel in me. So I like people who are willing to break the rules in a healthy way to shake us out of our complacency, to kind of wake us up to the unpleasant truths that we need to face, and to particularly those who give us the method to face those unpleasant truths and come out the other side, and that I admire.
Yeah, I think I just loved all the examples you actually shared there, Kevin. And
no, thank you.
Particularly what you shared about Mandela as well, just that that deep surrender. And it's,
yes.
I guess it's present in all phenomenal leaders, just that real deep surrender. And I guess it ties back to the concept that you mentioned throughout the call about really being connected to this interrelated whole. And
for sure.
just standing up and being of true service of humanity.
Uh-huh.
So we can
absolutely
experience it ourselves in a much different way.
Yes, indeed.
Well, we've almost come to the end of the hour, Kevin, and
that
I just really
quickly,
wanted to.
Huh?
It's amazing. It's gone very quickly, but I feel totally inspired. Actually, my stomach is actually just full of butterflies, and I'm really stirred by all the things that you shared this evening. And I have no doubt that people on the call have had a similar connection with your words and what you've shared. And I guess I was very curious as to finding out more about your work. And I know you've just released a new book with Brandon as well, and I was wondering if you could share a little bit more about the book and also talk a little bit more about the Visionary Leadership Program as well.
Sure. Well, let's keep it on the leadership track for the first section then, Damien.
Okay.
I know time's short here. We have in London this weekend a Visionary Leadership Intensive, which is a 2-day course taking place in Islington in London. You'll find details on our website. The website is consciouscompany.org, consciouscompany.org. And that's a 2-day where we really lay the foundation work down, where we say, okay, what are the basic traps that are here? What holds us back? How do we begin to learn and to discover tools that can help us to dive in and pull this stuff up by the roots? So it's 2 intense days that really kind of give the basic tools for everything that follows. Following this, and these courses take place around the world, they take place in the States, they take place in Europe, they are about to start again in Australia. And the Visionary Leadership retreats that we run are in 3 phases. So the 3 6-day retreats, and they really begin with the first week of looking inward and asking the questions that we were asking earlier on, Damien. How am I inauthentic? How am I operating on automatic pilot? How am I trapped? How am I stuck? And we explore various scenarios that push our stuff to the surface, and then we clear them out. So first we look within. We look within to find clarity. We look first within, I suppose, to find out where's the inauthenticity, clear it out of the way, discover something deeper. From that we can build. From that we can learn then to express, to speak consciously, to present consciously. And so for the second week, we make that a segue of saying, okay, this is, we've done a week of internal work. We're now going to do a week of internal turning to external. So we're going to look at our own stuff and look at how we take that out to the world. How do we begin to embody that? How do we live this? How do we exude it? How do we be it so that people catch it from us before we even open our mouths? And so our second week is spent internal, segueing into the external. And then the third week we spend together is pretty much entirely focused on how do we consciously communicate this that we've discovered in ourselves? How do we verbalize it? How do we communicate it non-verbally? How do we speak it to individuals? How do we speak it to small groups? And ultimately, how do we stand up on stage, or how do we stand up in front of a board of directors and speak from this level of naked authenticity? And so we spend the whole week effectively focused on the outside. I've got to say, our stuff still comes up in this last week, and we've burned away a lot of stuff as well, but it's focused on the external. And those courses, again, they're listed on the website, consciouscompany.org. If anyone's interested, please take a look at that and give our office in the UK a call, or our office in the USA or in Australia. Very, very powerful work. And again, I know that I'm biased on this, but it truly is extraordinarily deep and transformative work. And coming back to the other question you had, yes, we have a book. Brandon and I wrote a book this year called Consciousness, the New Currency, a new paradigm for manifesting conscious abundance, lasting fulfillment, and a sustainable future. Because we believe that most of the answers to the problems we're facing in society and globally today will come from within. They're not going to come from without. Most of them won't come from our politicians. They'll come from individuals who are willing to do exactly what we've been talking about for the last hour, to stop, to look within, to get real, to clear out the dross, to really get it out at a grassroots level, and to begin living in a brand new way. And so the book is an invitation to step into a true natural abundance that's available to all of us. I know I don't have a great deal more time to go into that, Damien. It's due for release in, we've had press publications up until now. The book is due for release at the end of October. It'll be on Amazon.com and in the books, Consciousness, the New Currency, and it's by me and Brandon Bays, my wife. So please look that one up as well.
Excellent. And how did you actually find the writing process? Was it a book that came together effortlessly, or was it a work that's been emerging quite a while?
Yeah. Well, it's been born out of work that's been taking place since 1996, Damien, the Journey's Abundance work, which has been having phenomenal results with people for that length of time. And the book itself, we took 6 weeks off and went to the island of Bali in Indonesia, and we rented a beautiful house there and really kind of secluded ourselves and wrote the basic text there in 6 weeks. It was definitely an effortless process, peppered with some kind of some heated wrangling from time to time when we had attitudes, you know, not that we disagreed with each other, but mostly that certain issues were burning with us, and there was a way in which they came to the surface in a way that was quite potent at the time. And so there was a lot of energy in the creative process, often, if you know what I mean. So effortless and strong, a real burn took place as we wrote the book. And the people who've seen it so far have given us fabulous feedback on it. So I'm very grateful for that, and hoping that it will have a real positive influence on those who realize that. Improving our planet, improving humanity, is not about putting on a hair shirt and beating ourselves up. It's about getting healthy. It's about getting real. It's about getting creative. It's about tapping into this greatness we've been talking about and using it. You know, it's not just enough to take a look in there and to discover it. You have to do something with that. And so I'm hoping the book will be a catalyst for that, that it will really inspire people to take conscious action and really to find the wherewithal to make a difference and then to go out and do something about it.
Awesome. I very much look forward to reading it when it releases. Great. So I just have one more question for you, Kevin, and I guess for anyone who is sitting at home thinking or wondering whether or not they've got leadership qualities untapped lying within. I was just wondering if you had any final words of inspiration or advice for those people.
I'm laughing as you ask that question, Damien, because I can only speak from personal experience. I've got to tell you, I was born into a very poor coal mining family in the Rhondda Valley in South Wales. My short answer is, you know what, if I've found this in myself, whoever you are, surely you can find this in yourself. I promise you this is true. It's not that we're born this way. This capacity is in all of us. It's not reserved for the special few. The capacity to be a visionary leader is inside you. The question is, are you willing to stop and look inside and to clear away the dross so that it can shine through you? It's the only question.
Awesome. Well, Kevin, I really wanted to just take this opportunity to thank you wholeheartedly for speaking your deepest truth this evening. It's certainly left an impact on me.
Anytime. Yeah. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you for all the people sending the questions. Very good, intelligent and evocative questions. I'm grateful to receive that quality of questions. So thank you to them too.
Excellent. And yeah, so thank you everyone at home as well. Like, your participation in these calls on a weekly basis is really what makes this process so enriching for everyone that's involved in it. Now, for those of you who would like to listen to this recording again, we will actually be making it available for free on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website. And if you've listened in tonight and you feel as if this work may actually change the life of a friend, a colleague, a family member, by all means, do take that step forward and share this really powerful material with everyone you feel moved to. Great. So thanks once again, Kevin, and thank you everyone at home.
You're very welcome, Damien. Thank you, and great good fortune ongoing with the program.
Cool. Thanks a lot. And we look forward to having you all on a peopleyoushouldmeet.com call very soon. Take care.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.